Gospel of Mark and chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. My wife and I have been so glad to be here, to make so many new friends and meet the Christians here and be encouraged by the Word of God. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach the gospel tonight. It's a wonderful message that transformed my life, and I hope that it will transform the lives of anyone who has not yet been transformed by the power of the gospel. We're going to read in Mark chapter 1, and we are going to read in verse 38. And he, that is Jesus, said unto them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth." And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, "I will, be thou clean." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, "See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them." But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, then they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and take up thy bed and walk'? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," he saith to the sick of the palsy, "I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house." And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." And he went forth again by the seaside, and the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, "How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners?" When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, "They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And the disciples of John and other Pharisees used to fast, and they came and say unto him, "Why do the disciples of John and other Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not?" And Jesus said unto them, "Can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days." We trust the Lord to bless to us the reading of Scripture and the explanation of the gospel message from it. This is a very beautiful part in the Gospel of Mark. Mark, one of the four authors who wrote who wrote a gospel, wrote the story of the Lord Jesus Christ and his life and his death and resurrection. And this is a really beautiful section of Mark. And one of the reasons why I read such a lengthy section from it is because of these beautiful stories that are in it. And one of the things that Mark seems to be doing in these stories, in the early parts of Mark, is he is showing how that God wants to bring people who are on the outside very close and very near to himself. How that God loves all people. People who are rich or poor, or good or bad in the eyes of men. God loves all people, and he wants to draw them all close to themselves. It's interesting that Mark, he starts off his gospel with these words: the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark's saying, I want to write a book that will tell you the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Mark shows in his gospel that this is good news for everyone. He shows that it's good news for the Jew, the person of the Lord Jesus' own countrymen. They need to come and to understand who the Lord Jesus is. And he tells about how even one of the people who knew the Lord Jesus best, Peter, one of his disciples, how he came to understand that the Lord Jesus is the Christ and to confess him as the Christ. But Mark also shows at the end of his gospel how people who didn't know the Lord Jesus very well at all, like one of the Roman soldiers at his crucifixion, how he was blessed by coming to realize who the Lord Jesus was. And that Roman soldier at the cross of the Lord Jesus, he recognized that this man was truly the Son of God. And so Mark wants to tell us about ourselves and about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, his great love for us even though we are sinful, and how he wants to save us from our sins and bring us very close to himself. The first man that we read about was a leper. And a leper was the ultimate outsider in the society of the day. He was the person who was truly outside and on his own, away from it all. The man who was a leper, he had leprosy. And because of the disease, and because of the possibility that that disease could spread, he would have to leave behind his job, his family, his community, everything and everyone he knew, and he had to go and live far outside in a place by itself. Didn't matter if he was a rich man or a poor man. Didn't matter if he was a king or a pauper. In our Bible, we read about a man who was a general, an important general in one of the mighty nations of his day. Didn't matter who you were. Didn't matter if you were a single person or you had a large family. When you had leprosy, you had to go off and live by yourself. And not only did you have to live by yourself, but you had to stay far away from people. You became untouchable. If anyone came close to you, you were required by law to cover your mouth and to say, unclean, unclean. People might be warned to stay away lest they catch your awful disease. The disease of leprosy was very sad. It disfigured people. It disfigured their hands and their feet. It disfigured their faces. And it was very isolating. And so the man with leprosy or the woman with leprosy, they would live a very lonely life, maybe only ever seeing or being very close to other lepers, no one talking to them, perhaps not many people talking to them, or anyone who did, it would only be at a distance, perhaps very few people being close to them, and certainly no one touching them. They were people who very much felt like they were on the outside. And Mark wants us to understand that because of our sins, and we are all sinners, the Bible teaches, because of our sins, we're all outsiders when it comes to God. We're all a long ways off from God because of our sin. Our sin separates us from a holy and righteous God who cannot bear to have sin unjudged and undealt with in his presence. And Mark wants to encourage us through the story of this leper that just like the Lord Jesus wanted to heal that leper and bring him close to himself, so the Lord Jesus wants to heal you and I from our sins, forgive us of our sins, and bring us close to himself. Well, this leper that we read about, it seems that he had heard a little bit about the Lord Jesus. And he had heard about this man who came and who was claiming to be the Son of God and who was doing many mighty works to back up these claims. And he had perhaps heard about people who were lame and who had been made well and able to walk again, or people who were sick and who had been made whole. Maybe he had heard about someone even who was a leper and who had been cleansed. I just don't know what he'd heard, but somehow he had heard that the Lord Jesus was able to heal and that he had manifested the power of God. And so we read in verse 40 that the leper came and he knelt down before the Lord Jesus. He dare not come too close. He was forbidden from coming too close. And so he kneels maybe at a short distance from the Lord Jesus. And he says to him in verse 40, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." In other words, he says, "I know you can heal me. I know you can heal me, but I don't know if you will heal me. But I know if you will heal me, if you want to heal me, you can heal me." And it says in verse 41, the Lord Jesus was moved with compassion. The Lord Jesus loved him. And he put forth his hand and touched him and said, "I will, I want to. Be thou clean." And as soon as he'd spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from that man and he was cleansed. I want to ask you a question about that. The question I want to ask is, why did the Lord Jesus touch him? Why did the Lord Jesus touch him? He came and knelt before the Lord Jesus and said, "If you will, you can make me clean." The Lord Jesus loved him, put forth his hand and touched him. There are other occasions we can read about in the Gospels where the Lord just spoke the words and a person was cleansed or healed. And the Lord could have just spoken the words and that man would have been cleansed. But why did he touch him? I think he touched him because he wanted to show him how much he loved him and how close he wanted to bring him. That poor leper, maybe no one had touched him in many years. Maybe he had often longed for the touch of a brother or sister he had once frequently embraced, or for a child, or for a wife or a spouse. And for so long, perhaps he hadn't been touched. And the Lord Jesus says, "I don't just want to heal you, but I want to show you that I love you and how close I want to bring you to myself." And he reached out and touched him. He said, "I will. Be clean." And that man was clean. And that's a message to you and I. That's how the Lord Jesus feels towards you and I. It doesn't matter if maybe you're a young child and the worst sins that you can think of that you've done is maybe you lied or you stole some cookies or candies. Or whether you're a person who has done things that are so dark and so awful that no one knows about them but yourself. Not even maybe your husband or wife, not even your closest friend, no one knows about them. And you think, if people just knew what I had done, or what I thought, or what I had wanted to do on that occasion, no one would want to be near me. And maybe in some cases that's true, but the Lord Jesus wants to be near you. And the Lord Jesus can cleanse those sins as well. And he wants to cleanse you from your sins, forgive those sins, and give you a place close to himself, give you salvation in this life, and ultimately a home in heaven in his presence in the next life. What I'm saying is that we're all outsiders before God. Every one of us. Whether it's the child, and I trusted the Lord Jesus as a boy of about 9 years old. Whether it's the child who has just lied or stolen, or the person who has done many, many seemingly much more serious and awful things. All of us are on the outside because of our sins. And all of us need the Lord Jesus to forgive our sins and for him to give us salvation. And so in chapter 2, when the Lord Jesus came to Capernaum, there were lots of people who had heard all about this man, like others who were healed. It says that he went and began to publish it, to blaze abroad the news of what had happened to him. Well, in one sense, you can hardly excuse the man. You think of how happy he would be at this. And he started to tell everyone about it. Maybe just like someone has invited you to the gospel meeting tonight, or maybe even friends or your parents have brought you because they are so excited about what the Lord Jesus has done for them and they want you to hear about it. And so when the Lord Jesus comes to Capernaum a few days later, after some days, it says in verse 1, it was noised, people were talking, everyone was hearing that he was in the house. And immediately, that's what the word straightway means in verse 2. Immediately, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. He preached to them. Because the Lord Jesus didn't just come to this earth to heal sick people. He came to this earth to tell people the Word of God. And so this crowd's gathered together, and the Lord Jesus is preaching to them. He's preaching that they're sinners, and that they need to repent of their sins, and they need to come to Him for salvation. And in verse 3, there comes a man who's sick of the palsy. That means that he wasn't someone who could walk. He had some physical disability, perhaps quite severe, because we see that he had to come being carried on a stretcher by four people. But who's in the house? Who's in the house? Let me start off by asking that question. Who is in the house? Who has got the good seats? So when everyone comes and crowds into the house, who is it that ends up right near the Lord Jesus, where people want to be, to see this man and to hear this message that he's preaching? Who's there? Well, I guess it's sort of who you might expect would be there. It's the scribes and the Pharisees. It says in verse 6, there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. So everyone's crowded about there, and you can imagine that maybe the scribes from town, they come by, and people just sort of part to let these men in, these men who are very well respected. And it says, actually, that they were sitting there. So they're not so far back that they have to stand to see over the crowd, but they're actually right in there, and they're sitting around there. And you know, a lot of people had probably thought that would make sense. Here were these men, they're religious, they're upstanding, and they would be the people that the Lord Jesus would want closer to Him. And then the people who are a little worse, maybe a little further away towards the door, or they can listen from the outside. But these religious men, these scribes who knew the Scriptures more than anyone, they need to learn the same lesson, that they are outsiders too. And that they, despite what other people might think, they are just as much in need of salvation from the Lord Jesus. Do you know a lot of people think in that same way today? That the religious people, the people who every Sunday find themselves in a church, that those people are sort of a little bit closer to God and a little bit closer to heaven than everyone else. And certainly the furthest away are those people who live desperate and dark and lives that everyone would acknowledge as being sinful. But one of the lessons Mark wants to teach us is that it's not about what we appear to be outside. It's about what's in our hearts. We're going to see in a moment that the Lord Jesus, He looked into the heart of the lame man who was on the stretcher, and He looked into the hearts of His friends who'd brought Him along, and He looked into the hearts of those scribes and Pharisees. And the hearts of those scribes and Pharisees showed that they were just as much, if not more so, in need of repentance and salvation. So everyone is gathered together, and there's no room to get in. And there's this man with his four friends, and he is desperate to get to the Lord Jesus. He has for many years possibly being carried about on this stretcher, and he knows that the Lord Jesus can heal him, but he gets there, and how disappointing it must have been. They can't even get inside the door of the house. But that man and his friends see that he has a desperate need, and this might be the only opportunity, and so they're not easily dissuaded. I wonder, especially young people here today, do you know that you have a desperate need of salvation? A desperate need. It's easy when you're young to think that there's lots of time to sort these things out. But the Bible says that now is the accepted time. Now, today is the day of salvation. It may be that if God's working in your heart and convicting you about your sins, those sins that you've committed, maybe that no one else knows about, it may be that you will not always feel convicted about those sins. It may be that you will not live as many years as one would hope that they would. And today is a day to understand the seriousness of the matter and the importance of seizing this opportunity. This man knows this might be the only chance, and so he takes desperate measures it's hard to imagine. So he and his friends, they go up on the roof, and the roofs in a lot of these homes at this time, I understand, they would have a staircase up the outside, they would have a flat roof, and they start tearing apart the roof of this other person's house. It's the most incredible thing for you to imagine. You can imagine if we were preaching here, and all of a sudden the stipple started falling off the ceiling, and people started lowering down a stretcher through it. We would think, what are they doing? Don't they know that this costs money? And don't they know that there's something important going on here? And that someone's speaking and we're all trying to listen? These men were at a point of desperation. And we would to God that every one of us who are still in our sins, that we would be at that point of desperation. That even at this moment, not worrying about waiting till the meeting is done, but at this moment, that we would be desperate to have the salvation and healing from the Lord Jesus Christ that we need. And so, they let this man down, the sick of the palsy, right in front of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus says to this man a most unusual thing. They expected, perhaps, first of all, that he would say, "You're well, go home, you can walk, go home." But he doesn't say that. What does he say to him? He says, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Now, why does he say that? You see, that man had a deeper need than maybe even he at first realized. It was obvious to see an outward physical need, and maybe he came thinking, "That is my biggest problem, and if I could only walk, I would be happy." But you see, the Lord Jesus, he saw that man's faith in coming to him, and he knew that just being able to walk wouldn't give that man unending joy. The only thing that could give that man unending joy is for his sins to be forgiven. After all, sickness and difficulties such as this man had, such as all of us have at times, all of these things, they are just the results of sin in our world. And while we can receive momentary joy through the things that we can see and the places we can go and the things that we can do, lasting eternal joy only comes through our sins being forgiven. Now, you don't know the problems I have in my life, and I don't know the problems you have in your life. I don't know the things that bother you, keep you awake at night, maybe even sometimes cause you to cry a little bit when no one's around. And I acknowledge that those are real problems. They're real problems. But there is another problem that we have. It is even a deeper problem. It is a deeper problem than all these other sadness and sorrows. And that's the problem of our sin. We don't always feel it so much as the physical and emotional pains. But it is a real problem. It's an eternal problem. Because it is our sin that robs us of having peace in our hearts. It is our sin that robs us of the assurance that we have a Heavenly Father who is in control of everything and will safely bring us home. It is our sin that robs us of the assurance that no matter what happens in this life, we have a home in heaven and a place in His eternal and unending joy. And the Lord Jesus, He looked through, and that's the first thing I want to consider about this man. He saw what the real problem is. It's sin. And that is the real problem of every one of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us are due to receive the wages of our sin, which is death and an eternity apart from God. The Lord Jesus wanted to teach them what the real problem was. It was sin. Same problem that man had, but the same problem the religious scribes sitting around him had as well. But secondly, the Lord Jesus wanted to teach them who He was. And who was the Lord Jesus? He was more than just a healer, although He was that. Not some of the sham healers that you hear about today, but He was a real man. He was the Son of God with the power to heal anything, even to raise the dead. But He wanted to show them that He was more than someone who can heal the body. He wanted to show them that He was one who forgives sins. And that's the most important thing to know about the Lord Jesus tonight. Indeed, if you forget most of the rest of what I say, just remember this. The Lord Jesus forgives sins. We all have sins. We can all come into the benefit of that. But He didn't just want to show them that He was someone who forgives sins. He wanted to show them He was someone who knows hearts. He knows hearts. Look at what happens. These scribes, they hear Him saying, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And they don't say anything. They're just thinking in their hearts, it says in verse 6. And they're thinking, "Why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" They think, this Jesus of Nazareth, He's only a man, and only God can forgive sins. And little do they know, He hears the thoughts of their hearts. Who can hear the thoughts of hearts? Who knows your heart and my hearts? And what we're thinking right now? Only God. And the Lord Jesus knew their heart, and that was evidence that He was divine. And so the scribes are thinking in their hearts, this man can't forgive sins. And the Lord Jesus knows they're thinking that. But it also says in verse 5, the Lord Jesus saw faith in the heart of the sick man and his friends. He sees faith in hearts. The Lord Jesus forgives sins, but he knows hearts. He knows every heart here. And he sees whether in my heart there is unbelief or whether there is faith. He sees faith in the actions of these men and within their hearts. He hears even unspoken unbelief. Even the person who would never say it, but just within their heart thinks, this isn't really true, or I wish I didn't have to be here. He hears that. He knows hearts. But he wanted to also teach them that he changes lives. So he says, the Lord Jesus says to these men, why do you reason these things in their hearts, in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? And the scribes would say, well, the second one is harder. I mean, you can say your sins are forgiven, and who knows if their sins are forgiven. But if you say to this man, take up your bed and walk, and he doesn't take up his bed and walk, then we all know that you don't have the power that you claim to have. And so the Lord Jesus said, so that you know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go your way to your own house. The Lord Jesus says, I know that you heard me say, thy sins are forgiven. And I know that you can't see whether his sins are forgiven. But so that you know that his sins are forgiven, I tell him to take up his bed and go home. And he took up his bed and went home. The Lord Jesus did the outward miracle so that they would know that he had done the inward miracle. And so everyone saw this man go his way. And that would seem to be incontrovertible truth, that the Lord Jesus can forgive sins. And many of the people, they recognized it in faith and they rejoiced. It says in verse 12, they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. But the scribes and the Pharisees were unimpressed by it all. And that's why I kept reading on a few more verses. Because verse 16 says that the scribes and Pharisees, a little later, they saw the Lord Jesus eating a meal in the house of Levi, the son of Alphaeus, one of the men he had called to follow him. And they saw who was sitting around him. It wasn't the way it was supposed to be. Remember, in the house, it was the way that they thought it should be. Scribes and important and religious people close, and all the others far away. But here's the Lord Jesus, and he is eating with publicans. That means tax collectors, and in that day they were mostly dishonest, so it really means, in their mind, cheats. They see that he's eating with cheats and sinners. And they say to the disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And the Lord Jesus said to them in verse 17, no, you haven't really understood it at all, have you? They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. It's not the people who are well that go to the doctor. We all know people, maybe some of us are people, who haven't seen a doctor in many a decade, because they're feeling pretty well. It's the one who's sick. You go to the walk-in clinic, and there's a whole lineup of people who found the doctor suddenly very important, and we take our place among them. The Lord Jesus says, it's not the people who feel well who need the doctor, it's those who are sick. And so he said, I didn't come to call the righteous. They think they're well and fine enough on their own. I came to call sinners to repentance. Those are the lives I change, the lives of sinners. And so I want to ask you, are you a sinner? Are you a sinner? Because those are the people that the Lord Jesus came to save. And if you see yourself as a sinner, then you can take comfort that you are a person that the Lord Jesus came to save. And he can save you just as he saved that man that day, through simple faith. That man lying on the stretcher, he probably didn't have much money he could have brought. He wasn't strong to be able to do some great feat or go on some long pilgrimage, but he believed in his heart. And if you believe in your heart that you are a sinner, and that your sins are taking you to a lost eternity without God, and if you believe that when God sent his Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this earth, that he was without sin, and yet he died on the cross for the sins of lost men and women. And if you believe that when he died there on that cross, he was dying for your sin and you trust him, repent of your sins, accept him as your Savior, you can be forgiven and you can have a place in heaven. But I read one verse more than that. Because when the Lord Jesus says this, what do the disciples of John and the Pharisees say? They have some question about fasting. Fasting? Going without food. Typically for religious purposes. Here are these men and they're starving themselves for religious purposes to seek to find favor with God. Don't you see the picture that Mark is painting for us? Here are these men on the outside and they're hungry and they're not eating because they're trying to get favor with God. And there is the very Son of God there and there's a feast. And they could go and eat that feast if they were willing to go and sit among the sinners and the cheats. And that's such a picture of how you and I can be in the world today. The world is full of people paying money, working tirelessly, trying to find favor with God. Not required. People fasting and starving themselves and going through physical deprivation trying to find favor with God. And there is a feast, free salvation to anyone who can believe. So please, my dear friend, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior and be saved today.